The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thanks very much for tuning in to episode 2.19 of the Ball Bags podcast, the penultimate episode of season 2. I am delighted to be joined on the final day of the season by the bottom feeder athlete and the coach. How are we, gents?
Ecstatic.
Been better.
It's ironic that you're
a lot of United fans.
I was going to say, you took the words out of my mouth, Sasquatch.
Yeah, it's a... You really have fallen from grace from the Ferguson days. My God. Septic fan base. I don't know a more septic fan base. But look, we digress. We're going to change up a bit this week. We're kind of going to do an end of season special. And then we'll obviously be returning last week for one more time on what is, well, it used to be Heineken Super Saturday. I don't know if it's still referred to as that anymore, but we'll be reviewing the Champions Cup final and the Champions League final. So gents, to get the juices tingling, what was one thing you really enjoyed this season and one thing you really didn't like? And I can jump in first if he's won a bit of time.
Go for it, Sas.
Okay. Well, the thing I really enjoyed this season, and a great example of this is probably not a great example for me, but having full stadiums again, I think we took it for granted, and then we 2 years without, and what really captured this for me was probably the Newcastle fans when they passed 2-0. I just thought it was electric, and despite being a terrible day for me personally to watch that game, the Newcastle fans were humming, and it's been great. You've seen kind of scenes over the last few weeks with, I know there's been a few morons kind of storming the field and stuff who've caused trouble, but there's been some good scenes with fans storming the field that we would have thought in May 2020 we might not see again for a long time. So it was a long time. So that's something I really enjoyed. In terms of something I really am not a fan of at present is the massive effort by clubs and players to jump into kind of these murky waters of the crypto world and NFTs. And it's like an obvious... an easy chance to make money, but it's on the back again of fans, and that's something that I suppose I haven't enjoyed this season, and I think it's going to become rife in the game. But those are kind of, that's the thing I enjoyed the most and the thing I'm not enjoying at present, and I don't think I would enjoy moving forward. Bottom feeder athlete, as a United fan, what's something you enjoyed this season?
I was going to say all of Ronaldo's hat-tricks, but I'm not that toxic. Yeah, do you know what? Even though we weren't involved in it, I thought the title race was, on like, in fairness to both of the teams, it was actually, yeah, like for it to finish like that. I know obviously it didn't finish in Liverpool's favour, but like, is there anything else that you want last day? And even then the relegation, like Leeds creeping out, all the games are on at 4 o'clock. You're Snapchatting, like I'm Snapchatting one of my mates, like screaming down the phone at him every time City score a goal. Then I'm trying to flick through like two different channels to see what's happening. Then I'm checking like Burnley's game against Newcastle, and then Leeds game obviously as well, which had a red card in it. You're like going, are they going to drop a goal, another goal here? So yeah, the title race from start to finish. Well, actually, really, you're kind of Christmas onwards, because like City looked like they had it sewn up at Christmas time, and then the COVID fixture list, the way the condensed fixtures went, I think it kind of I don't know, would you call it breathed a bit of life into it, and we got a class finish.
Yeah, that's fair to say. Something you didn't like from the season?
Mbappe's transfer saga.
Objection, that's not the Premier League.
Oh, sorry, yeah. You just said season. I didn't realise we're talking full Premier League.
No, he's in Premier League. Start the show, it's the Premier League special, mate, so come on. Like, I mean, we didn't just do fucking, 18 episodes up till now for you to ruin it, so.
So something you didn't like from the Premier League season. Let's go. Something you didn't enjoy.
Something I didn't like. I'm going to go with United obviously playing that badly that we can't even get a Champions League spot.
We all enjoyed it.
Yeah,
though.
He all enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, I didn't get Champions League either.
No, so. I know. I feel your pain.
Coach, something you enjoyed? Something you didn't enjoy?
Something I didn't enjoy is probably the... Not the inconsistency of VAR, but just the... I think we need more out of it and need more understanding of it and what it's for. Like, there's certain things that weren't picked up and certain things that were picked up, and how many phases it should go back and how many, it's just stuff like that. I think it needs to be more definite of what it actually is there for. If it's only going to be offside, well then let that be it. Or if it's on, but they haven't really come out and said this is the situation. That's one thing that I think I didn't like. One thing I liked, it's great to have a Premier League season up to the final day. You can't bait it, I think it was written. Yeah, that would be the one for me. Do you know what? And I was only thinking this. Leeds probably didn't get enough of the attention today. That, or the whole relegation battle, to be fair, probably didn't get enough attention to deserve. Like, Leeds scored in the 94th minute, was it?
Yeah, I think Harrison, though, they were...
Jack Harrison, yeah.
They were safe. Were they? Yeah, they were safe.
They were just about to, but... Yeah, like...
It's a bit like... It would be a... I know it would have been epic if that was to keep them up, but it was a bit like
Salah's just to put goal, the icing on the cake. Yeah.
If Salah scored that goal 5 minutes prior when City were still losing.
One thing that was really good this year was the kind of banter now of where people like Everton obviously dicing with death, United dropping early. Now the United banter probably ended when people started feeling sorry for them about 8 weeks ago. So, but I think it was a good banter this season.
Yeah, definitely.
The thing with United too as well is I think they got to 37 games played faster than anyone else, so there was like a 2 week period there where United just didn't play.
Yeah, I know, they needed it, to be fair.
Needed a break. If there was one other thing I was actually going to add in I didn't enjoy, and I think we need to seriously look at it, is this rule of not lifting a flag for offside.
Yes.
And letting the play come in when it's clear and obvious, because someone is going to get seriously hurt.
You think?
And yeah, I think someone's going to get injured. And instead of just lifting the... When it's a clear and obvious offside, like, it just wastes so much time. I hate that as a rule. Hate it as a rule.
Yeah, it's not enjoyable. I get it if it's very, very close and they're deciding just to keep the flag down to play, but players need to stop reacting as well. Players kind of automatically, when they think it's offside, reacting, oh yeah, well, arm up and they're looking at the line now. Or the opposite way, they put it, they stop playing, but actually the ref's gonna let it play through to see what happens. Like, it's not great. It's similar to VAR. You'd like to go back to the early noughties, wouldn't you, and just lave it down to the referee.
Yeah,
but look, it's not inter-county gas, so.
It's gonna be a struggle getting this episode done. But look, the main segment, which is just a bit of a grading piece, we're just going to go through all the clubs, some quicker than others, and debate over a grade we give them for the season. I think it probably makes more sense to start at the bottom and work our way up, or do we feel differently?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll start with Norwich and make a very simple, easy one here. It's F. They're in this weird space where they're neither a championship club nor a premiership club, and they'll just be in between the two.
Yo-yo club.
It's not even a yo-yo. It's very strange. Like, they're they're the worst side every year that comes up. When they come up,
it's like a yo-yo that died.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. It's a wooden yo-yo. It's not the cool plastic ones of the 90s that lit up.
It's just not coming.
Yeah. It just bounces off the ground like half a foot, but never comes up the full foot back to you.
Yeah. It's like, God love their fans, but it's just it just seems as if there was a league great in the morning between the Championship and the Premier League, they'd be the perfect fit for it.
It's also the middle of nowhere, is it not?
Oh, it's absolutely.
Yeah, it's the middle of nowhere. Fuck. So I don't think anyone wants in the Premier League in terms of if you want to get to a game on a Sunday and get back for work on the Monday, like, you know. So the league's probably better off without.
It's the middle of nowhere, but it's not a terrible commute either.
Well, it is for Liverpool fans, possibly not for London fans.
Yeah, probably not for London fans, but like, we only have two clubs in Liverpool. We have a lot of clubs in London.
No, it's an F. But by the way, just with them, like, do you see them being picked apart for any players? Like, Pookie's getting probably too old to move on. Josh Sargent, maybe. Yeah,
where does he go? Back to the MLS?
Yeah.
Like, I know the Americans love him, but like.
Like, Max Aarons could probably get a. Like, he is probably a decent fit for United or someone like that. He's young, right back, skillful. Like, I would have said if Liverpool weren't, you know, didn't have three right backs, I would have said he could be a good second choice.
Or just do another year in the Championship for him.
I mean, like, you looked at the kind of squad list. Yeah, Max Aaron's probably. What happens to Adam Ida? Does he go back down with them again?
Yeah, I think so.
He's
better off staying there. He'll get game time once Pookie moves. Eventually does, you know, move on.
Like, Billy Gilmore didn't do an awful lot for Chelsea.
He didn't. They may not have had the ball enough for him to do anything. I think he probably has to be in a team that has a lot more possession. The one that just up Norwich that kind of I would be worried if I was a United fan would be Brandon Williams. He didn't have a great time.
No.
In a team that you do have to defend, and he's meant to be, like, his asset is his defending as opposed to his attacking, I would have thought. Didn't have a great time.
I don't think he has a future in Old Trafford, though. It would have been. He would have wanted to have
one viral moment.
Insurmountable improvement at Norwich for him to.
He's the most yellow cards at Norwich, just as a.
Yeah. I think his highlight of the year was patting Christian Eriksen up off the ground. Like, you know, that's.
That's what I was going to say. One viral clip.
That's not great.
And it was him being yellow. He'd been cowardly. But look, I think we can agree. F.
F, definitely F. Possibly even an NG. Possibly.
Did not participate.
Did not attend. Yeah.
Next up, Watford. I'm also going to give them an F. More managers than players.
It's always.
There's maybe one or two I'd nick though. In terms of players, more than Norwich. Like, you look at maybe Sarr, Emmanuel Dennis could be good for any side coming back up.
I think they both have futures in the Premier League. This. Next season,
there is a few players I wouldn't personally nick them for Arsenal, but I think especially a club coming up, they could be great little nice boys. But like, you look at those two clubs, obviously way off at 22 points for Norwich, 23 points for Watford, and a negative goal difference of 61 for Norwich and 43 for Watford. Absolutely terrible showing. Next up, Burnley.
Burnley.
I give them an E, if there is such a thing anymore.
I think, did they not kind of deserve an F for getting rid of Dyche? Would they have stayed up with Dyche?
I don't know. The form post-Dyche was very good.
It's always a tough ask when you lose a manager to stay up for those type of clubs, though, isn't it?
Like, particularly, how many games? They must have had, six games left, maybe? When they got rid of him, 6-7.
But look, if the results had gone their way today, I'd argue, like, look, if you survive and that spot, like, I'd be like, right, you just give him a B. There you go, job done. You're here next year, and you know you're not in fucking huge amount of trouble. So did you just go from a B if the results go the right way right down to did not participate?
Yeah, like 35. 35 is a very high points total to. They get relegated with.
Yeah, like
I think they're in a bit of a mess though, because the way they're structured, they've never really spent an awful lot, but they spent big on Wakehurst, or however you pronounce it.
Wakehurst.
Yeah, they did spend a bit in January to keep themselves up, obviously. Yeah. Only a goal difference of minus 19.
It's also poor from an Irish perspective as well. Just with Nathan Collins, Kevin Long, like, you would have hoped Nathan Collins would stay in the Premier League. Now I know there's a couple of clubs that have been sniffing around him, I think. A couple of the big four, the Brighton signed that. I think Chelsea might have sniffed, and was it United? Someone else? Just another
there
team.
There was talk about him. But, like, what's... Like, I mean, surely he's at fraction price now if he wants to stay in the Premier League.
They could get absolutely shredded, torn to pieces in the transfer market as well. I mean, James Tarkowski, Maxwell Cornet.
Yeah.
Arguably Ben Mee, even. I know he's getting on, though.
I think Cornet's definitely gone in the summer. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them bounce straight back up, like, next year again.
I don't know.
Championship's such a difficult league. It is seriously such a difficult league.
I would lie with them before I'd lie with the other two, though, to come back. Or you think no?
The other two tend to do it quite a bit.
Yeah.
To be fair to them.
I don't know. It's a different league than a championship. There's a lot more flair, a lot more football being played. Whereas I think Burnley got away a long time playing one style. I'm not sure they have enough in their style to mix it up next year. So I can't see them coming straight back up. Maybe in 2-3 years, but I just don't think they have enough. Well, it depends what players they get in, but I don't think they have enough to mix it up.
Yeah.
They got a lot of players in there that and played a certain way that kept them up for a long time, kind of old Jack Charlton style. Like, and they got away with it with, you know, 1-0 wins and draws and stuff. But I don't know. I don't know if they have it in them. They could finish as low as mid table in the championship, I think.
Jesus, that's some fall, isn't it?
It happens. There's no guarantees when you get relegated from the Premiership.
They're the complete opposite of a feeder club. What's that? Like, where players kind of, you know,
retire there.
Typically at the northern clubs, run out of time and they end up at Burnley. You look at Phil Bardsley and people like that. Aaron Lennon.
Retirement clubs.
Yeah.
It's a retirement home, yeah. But I don't know why you'd retire in Burnley. Like, there's nothing there. Like, it's... You obviously live in Chester or something, or Alderley Edge or something like that. It's a short commute.
It's just a vibe, isn't it? It's just a vibe for...
Yeah.
It's the players who went to Stoke for years.
The bottom feeder looks like someone that would hang out in Turf Moor every week.
Funny that you mentioned Turf Moor. I was looking at, there's an Instagram that comes up on my feed of your man. He goes around and does all the hospitality for...
He's been popping up in my last few days.
I like the Turf Moor one, it's unreal. it was way better than Old Trafford. Like, miles better.
I watched one there yesterday. It was Braga's ground. Braga against Rangers looked top class.
Does it? Yeah. I'm going to check that one out. Yeah, but that lad's got he's got a future in it. But yeah, Turf Moor actually looks good. I wouldn't argue with Turf Moor.
Fair. So happy 3Fs.
Yeah.
Moving on to Leeds, 17th.
B+.
Leeds is one
you give them a B+.
When you survive and you just get away with the skin of your teeth, I just think it's like it's a success.
Do you think their season was successful?
I don't know, after you lose your manager.
Before you came out the bat, I was going to say, this is a season you almost mark on two papers. It's paper one and paper two here, because you've got the paper up until Bielsa, and then they've absolutely skanked it. They've skanked themselves there, I think. I don't think they would have been anywhere near it if they had kept them. Now, granted, I would have got rid of him at the end of the season, because I just think he's ran them into the ground and lost for ideas, but...
A bit like Poch at Spurs.
They are definitely going to lose a couple of players, though, aren't they?
But that's what I mean. It's not a successful season for them. There's no way, because... They should have been top 10 with their squad.
Yeah. Well,
they definitely should have been ahead of... They definitely should have at least 4 or 5 places up.
Where has it gone? Like, if they get gutted in the summer for a few players, right, obviously they're going to be in real bother.
They'll get gutted next year. They could get absolutely gutted. Like, their only saving grace is that they're still in the Premier League.
what does it take for them to try and get back to that Bielsa free scoring kind of team, but they need to be also a little bit more defensively astute? Like, where's the, like, can Jesse Marsh give them that balance, or is he just, is he going to be gone in November?
I think I don't think he's going to last too long, to be fair, if I'm honest.
Do you know what I mean? Is he going to be there in November? I don't know.
The discipline they showed during the stretch was horrific. You look at the red card of Luke Ayling against us, the red card of Daniel James against Chelsea. Arguably, if you're in a relegation battle, you're not teeing either of those games up as we need to win this to stay up. They put themselves under immense pressure, lack of discipline. The goals is a huge thing. Like, you look at Burnley went down with a goal difference of minus 19. Leeds at minus 37.
Yeah, they had
they were leaky defense.
They were quite unlucky with Bamford's injury as well. Like, I think he probably would have added another injury, maybe 8 goals.
But still, it's still still very. I think they're very lucky to stay up. I probably give them a D minus because they stayed up, but it was a horrific horror season for them. And you also, yeah, they were riddled with injuries when you think back on it. Like, how long was his name escapes me, but they just had injuries all season.
Like, Stuart Dallas, like, broke his leg, didn't he? And he was kind of influential for them.
And he's going to be gone for a while.
Luke Ayling possibly played his last game for them. I know he's a bit of a cult hero there, but he's probably not up to it.
Like,
yeah, but he could do a role. He could do a Mark Noble role for him.
Maybe a Mark Noble, James Milner type thing.
Yeah, in off the bench.
How much did they get for Rafinha to try and then remake the whole squad out of funds for that?
I think you get 50.
I think Rafinha's value has dropped this season. I think if you were, like, if he was a commodity, you would have sold him at the end of last season.
Do you think, did City miss something letting Harrison go out from underneath the umbrella to Leeds?
No.
Do you think he might have added something permanent now?
I think it might be, yeah. Did he not come back from New York?
Was it meant permanent last year? Last summer, I think.
I think City is just too much talent to justify keeping him.
I know, I was more thinking of, like, the English good piece. Or is he Scottish, actually?
I think he's English.
Either way, he probably qualifies, doesn't he, as the home rule. But
yeah.
I'm just thinking from the City point of view, if you had him in your squad.
If you had to agree on a grade for Leeds,
probably a D minus is probably. I think they probably should have got more out of the season. It's like one of them students, you're kind of going, it's okay, you could have done better.
Yeah, you passed, but
yeah,
just
yeah.
Next up, 16th Everton. I'm gonna actually give them an F. Probably the only side that stayed up I'd give an F to, and I'll tell you why. They're in a mess of their own making, and then also, something really irked me. The celebrations of the Everton fans for staying up, I thought was a bit.
You're that club. You're that club now.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. Embarrassing to be in that situation. You should have just been like, right, job done, let's go home.
Yeah. And then I didn't like, I don't know if you saw the Seamus Coleman, Frank Lampard video. Like, Coleman did not want to be in that situation. You could. Oh, his face was.
He looked.
We did not like him celebrating.
Made a point of sending it on.
He looked shattered. Like, what's the story with Everton going forward though? Because obviously, like, Leeds and was it Burnley as well? They both lodged financial fair play complaints against Everton over the $300 million in losses in the last 3 years. When you're only allowed to have a maximum of 107 or something like that for the 3 years.
They do, but that to me screams, like, shades of Sheffield United complaining about West Ham's transfer policy for Mascherano and Tevez. The Premier League are not going to relegate Everton.
No, that's, and look, that's fair enough. You're obviously not going to relegate them, but like $300 million in losses for Everton, like, is this the start of a really bad decline? Like, are they after just getting really lucky this year and next year are going to be buried in it again because of that money?
Buried in it because they've invested in all the wrong types of players. Like, you look at kind of major scoops, say, for example, like Richarlison, he's debatable as to whether he's good or not. He's hit and miss. They brought in, I know it was only a loan, but they brought in Donny van de Beek. Like, you're struggling, why do you bring in a player who's struggling? It wasn't a great move. Alex Iwobi, we'd seen what he's done at Arsenal and he wasn't up much. Dele Alli, like, we can, like, and then the only player who was kind of a shining light for them at the start of the season has gone off the boil in Demarai Gray. I thought he was exceptional to start the season.
Yeah, he was a class, yeah.
Like, even if you sold all those players, they're still in real deep shit, like.
You still have to, you're still never getting the 40 million back you played for Guilfi Sigurdsson.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think it's the start at the end. Like, if they don't write that financial thing very quickly, I don't know how you even do that, like, at the minute. Whether they're going to be sold again, or.
I think if Frank Lampard at the helm, they'll be in the same. I do not rate Frank Lampard as a manager.
I think he's just a name, and he, like, but I think he's in. It wouldn't shock me if he didn't start the next season as manager. Wouldn't shock me.
I don't think they have the balls for that. I think if they had the balls for that, they wouldn't be in the position they where they are now. I think, is Pierre Kenyon still the owner of Everton?
I think so. Yeah.
They're just a alright club. Like,
I'd be, if you were Alain, you would probably be getting, packing your bags and shifting your arse to another part of the north, would you? Probably looking.
You're
to
who?
Alain.
He's shown more than what. Like, there, he has better football ahead of him at a different English club, I think, surely.
I would have thought he would have been a perfect asset to a Man United. Someone that's missing that defensive rut, maybe even an Arsenal.
He adds a very,
maybe a Chelsea.
It's a good physical profile.
Chelsea seem to be losing a lot of the players to Spain. Like, aren't they? Like, there's a lot of players linked from Chelsea. He might be a nice little piece in there.
Pick up,
yeah. Would you say he's probably their most valuable asset right now in that case?
Cavalier, maybe.
Yeah, Carlison's probably the most expensive.
I'd say the three of them, to be fair, could possibly leave. Like, Lampard will have to do a lot to hold on to them.
Yeah.
But then you look at Calvert-Lewin. Like, I know he scored the goal obviously during the week, but what did he do all season?
Not a whole lot.
He missed a good bit of time as well, though, did he not?
He did, but his absence wasn't like a, oh no, now we've lost Calvert-Lewin. Like, he was doing nothing for them anyway.
Too busy.
But look, moving on. We're agreement of F.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Southampton. I give them a D. Did some great performances, and James Ward-Prowse just don't foul Southampton anywhere near the box. He's a free kick maestro, but they're a bit meh.
Yeah, they're very up and down. You look at the results, to get a good one, they might get two bads, and then back to a good result. And it's just, I don't really know what you want from Southampton.
They're always staying on the line of the mean of average.
But what is their success? Like, what is their what are they looking for out of a season?
Challenging for the Conference League spot, maybe?
Just safety.
I think if they get into a European spot of, like, the Conference Europa, it's probably a hindrance to them.
They don't have the squad big enough.
Squad depth, cost financially. They're probably not gonna have an awful lot of fans following them abroad.
So what are we saying? Like, they might for one season. Top 10 finish every year for Southampton, really, isn't it? Or Anton 12 and over.
10 to 15th, they'll take that. Yeah, happy to move on.
Funny one there, just from an Irish perspective. Shane Long, what happens to him next? Does he get another year? Surely not.
He's getting
prove the points this season. You could give him, you give him another year.
He's kind of a shame. As Coleman figured down there, I get the feeling.
Well, there's something we didn't touch on in Everton. What do you think of Seamus? You think Seamus maybe hangs him up this season?
I think he turns into that player that's probably a lot more off the bench and maybe becomes player coach, part of Lampard's staff. Like, I'm looking at pictures of the change room the other night, and, you know, Ashley Cole's in the towel hanging over the side of Dele Alli, and you're like, this isn't on. Like, I'd say Coleman is
sick
of it. Spitting fire, I'd say.
That's insane. So does he look to move on, or does he to move on if no one's coming?
If Coleman moves on, there's only two ways I can see Coleman going. And one is to Celtic, and the other is to Sligo Rovers to finish his career. Like, I just don't think he's in it for the money. Like, so I think they're the only two options for him. Otherwise,
but does he go somewhere where he's guaranteed a coaching gig after? Do you know what I mean? Maybe Celtic or Sligo can't give that to him.
Yeah, I think Everton probably can. So maybe he's a bit power player next year. I think no matter who the manager is, Everton will probably offer him something.
He's deserved,
more than justified as, what was he, 80 grand he came in.
Yeah, I'd actually like to see him in a Celtic shirt. Be not nice. That I'm a massive SPL fan, but it'd be, for him, I think it'd be nice.
Yeah.
End of the career. Yeah, we're agreeing. Southampton. The Aston Villa.
Very funny one.
I'm thinking C, and I'm angling between a C and a C minus. Obviously, you're looking at a team that in the first season where they've lost Dean Smith. Well, they got rid of Dean Smith. They've obviously lost kind of their poster boy in Jack Grealish. And at points they were brilliant, and at points they were
shite.
They were just okay. Obviously you've only got half a season under Gerrard, so it's difficult to slate him. But as a whole for the season, I'd probably give them a C. A lot of talent there. I just don't think they're great defensively.
What's their also, ceiling with him? What do we think next year?
Gerrard.
Eight would be a good finish for Villa.
I think if they hold on to a nucleus of that team, it's actually not a bad squad, and they play some good football. Even prior to Gerrard, they played some good football. I think Dean Smith was probably unlucky. Maybe he probably didn't help that. I don't really rate John Terry, but he seemed to be a big figure in the changing room. Again, probably a little bit like Ashley Cole, and got too involved with the players, but he did seem to bring something to the table. I think we were talking last week just about Coutinho being hot and cold and stuff, but if you tear that back a bit, he's got 5 goals since January as a midfielder. If he added 5 in, if he had finished the season with 10 goals, that's not a bad contribution from a,
for 17 million.
Yeah,
how many assists did he finish with as well?
Oh, 3. I love these.
So we're talking nearly, if he was 3, give you 16, like between goals,
if he was to give you 10 goals and 6 assists, that's a great return. Yeah. Lucas Digne has been an excellent signing for him as well, actually, to be fair. I know he was
as Buendia.
Yeah.
Who came in at the start of the season, brilliant signing. Ollie Watkins, I think, has matured. And Jacob Ramsey is a little gem that they unearthed. I'd give a lot of raps to Villa.
I tell you who'd slot in there nicely. Nathan Collins. I don't think Mings is fully I don't think he's all that. I really don't.
He had a poor season for me this year.
I think poor season.
Looks like Tarzan Collins is like Jane.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Like you build a centre half in the lab, and it looks like Tyrone Mings nearly, doesn't it? And he's just some of the stupid shit he does.
Yeah, this is stupid stuff for me.
I think C, but just on that, like Danny Ings he did get a knock early on the season. But he still finished with 7 goals and 6 assists. And to me, looking, before today I would have said, oh, he's probably had a poor season. That's not bad. For a mid-size.
It's not bad, but when it was signed, we were like, that's a brilliant signing.
Yeah.
And it was kept so quiet. That's where I think you feel like he's had a bad season, because that's a brilliant bit of business. Next up, Brentford in 13th. I'm going to give them an A. First ever season in the Premier League. Another thing I could have added at the start, the things I loved to see this season,
Eriksen.
Christian Eriksen.
They're ambitious,
not just second chance of football,
they're really ambitious for what they have. Like from a financial point of view and stuff like that, like, and what
I also think
is just ambition all the way through.
I also think Thomas Frank just added a lot to the Premier League this season too. Ivan Toney as well. I think they were very likable from the off.
Ivan fucked Brentford Toney.
Yeah. But look, those storylines, they added entertainment value. Some great performances.
They were great. They were very entertaining to watch, I have to say. They stick to their principles and it works for them. I could see them bumping it up into the top 10 if they can keep playing the way they're playing. The one thing I hate about Brentford, and they're a likeable club, is sharing the ground with London Irish. I can't stand watching a game with the rugby markets on the pitch, and that's going to get worse.
You say that, but that's shades of Hull under Phil Brown.
It is, but you've just built a new stadium, you know, like, you're ruining it.
But London Irish built a new stadium.
No, they didn't. Brentford built it.
don't think so.
They shouldn't have got rid of Rogan, to be fair. David Raya, by the way, the keeper. What a player, what a season.
Yeah, no, they've been very enjoyable. So we give them an A.
Yeah,
100%. Do you reckon they hold on to all that? I think Eriksen goes to Tottenham, lads.
I think he'd stay. I think he'd give them one more year.
I think he stays. I think it's one more season. Yeah, I think he stays.
Does Thomas Frank have a future as a manager at a bigger club?
It's weird. Brentford's a weird one, right? Because Frank doesn't necessarily pick the team. Data picks the team, apparently. Mm-hmm. This is the way they work. No,
yeah.
I wouldn't believe everything I read into at the same time. But if you're to believe what you read, Frank is only a communicator, basically.
Fair.
But I would like to see him go higher up and just see, test his coaching ability.
You'd like to see that model at with kind of all the bells and whistles attached to it, wouldn't it? Just out of curiosity, I know obviously the analytics stuff is playing a bigger part in it now, but I would like to see what that looks like with a huge amount of financial power behind the back and see what happens.
But it wouldn't work because it's born out of a lack of bells and whistles.
Yes,
that's true.
That's
too,
where. Yeah. This comes from same in baseball, same everywhere. It's born out of a lack of bells and whistles. Anyway, 12th Palace. I give them a B-. They played some good football under Vieira. I thought they maybe faltered at the end of the season. Now I'm kind of thinking maybe a C+.
They have some absolute gem kids as well, player-wise, in Alicia and Eze.
Yeah, they're probably going to lose their best player.
Yes.
So,
which is a shame because their best player probably won't play at Chelsea.
No, and he's probably at the perfect level.
Yeah, but he's English.
That's true. That's true.
Well, could he have played for Ireland? I think he might have some. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you find it with a name like Gallagher. You'll find it
somewhere.
Yeah. Tony Cascarino, Joe.
You'd love to see him, though. You'd love to see Gallagher do well next year at a bigger club because he deserves it.
I just want to see how he fits into Chelsea with Pulisic and Mason Mount.
I wonder, is there any chance of a swap deal there with maybe Zaha? Because I know Chelsea were linked with Zaha, weren't they, like 2 years ago?
So they take Zaha and leave Gallagher?
Well, it's probably Gallagher plus a few bob, but.
But I think Zaha do a better job for Chelsea than Lukaku did this season, or Werner did last season.
He got 14 goals, isn't he, this season? What's that, about 10 more than Lukaku?
Yeah. Lukaku, 12 more. Yeah. So what are we saying? C+, B-.
C plus. C plus. By the way, Vieira probably gets B. Sneaky B, maybe. It'd be great to see what he can do in a hot full season. With a full pre-season point.
Would have given him an A+ after that kick last night. I didn't know. Which, I'm telling you, he was in the right.
Mm-hmm.
Newcastle, I would give them both an F and an A++. Eddie Howe's job has been phenomenal. Not because of who he brought in with the money. It's what he's got out of John Joe Shelby, what he's got out of Joe Linton, what he got out of Scar, what he's got out of the players that are there.
Mm-hmm.
When he joined, I couldn't rank him highly enough. But then I'd also remember the full season and the Steve Bruce era. It was probably an F.
So you settle on a B?
No, I give them an A-.
You give them an
A-. Yeah, A-. That's, they were like the statistically the,
they were dead.
Fourth
they
best
were dead
club
in the water
from when he took over. Yeah?
They were dead.
What type of player did I go for? Maybe this is a question to finish the show with, but what type of player do they go for next season?
I think along the lines of your man, the fella they brought in January, Gomayrez, or however you pronounce it.
Because I was more thinking Coutinho might be up to just something that's going to get them shirt sales, but also push them up another maybe five places.
I think they could do far worse than bringing in a few players maybe from Burnley that have gone down. Few players with Premiership experience. I think Tarkowski could do a job for him.
Mm.
What did he do with St. Maximin?
I mean,
Did he think they'd try and move him on? He seems to have been very disgruntled.
I don't think the players like him anymore.
Yeah, but like if they decided to sell him, would they get reasonable value for money out of him?
They don't think they get value for money anymore. Not because of anything he's done, but because of, oh well, you have money, so why would I give it to you?
Yeah.
And you want to sell him, so you can buy players. So I'm not going to help you with that.
It's going to be tough for them now, isn't it? When these clubs come in.
Yeah.
Very tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them to shift players on. But yeah, probably give Eddie an A+, to be fair. I think he's been phenomenal.
He's done a good job, but unfortunately, will he be there this time next year?
I think so.
You think?
Yeah.
But I think he's trending the way he's trending.
So if Zidane's sitting in the stands, you know, first game next season.
Right, that's fair enough. I don't think he'd be sacked for performance. Like, the only way I'd see him, the way you're saying he'd be moved on, is for a superstar name. I don't see him being sacked because they're struggling, in other words.
I think he is the perfect man for the job. And I think if they have any sense, they won't sack him. They have an opportunity now to, and this is probably, this is going to definitely come back and bite me, but they have an opportunity in Eddie Howe to build for the next 5 years and him to be like a Geordie Alex Ferguson.
See how you can.
And I mean that. Like, he can build a real culture in that club because they've amazing fans, which is, like, City still haven't got amazing fans. So
they have,
I think,
all the things trending for them to kind of,
only club in that city. Yeah, and I'd be massively in favour of holding on to him. Next up, Wolves in 10th.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's
just kind of standard.
Since they've come up, it's just been like that, hasn't it?
C?
Probably just a C. Just C. Just C.
Jose Sado.
Do you know what? They will do well to hang on to a couple of, like, Fabio Silva and Gio Martino and what's the one United were linked with? Neves?
Ruben Neves.
Yeah. Raul Jimenez.
Everyone's in for him. I think Jose Sá is key, is more influential for them. There was this that I read this morning that he has, in terms of expected goals conceded versus goals conceded, he's the second best goalkeeper in the Premiership. Alisson Becker is the only one that's had him, which is some stat.
Yeah, and it's not like obviously he's getting tested regularly. It's not like he's sitting behind Liverpool back four either, to be fair. So you would think the gap nearly should be bigger than it.
Yeah.
What it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah. See.
It just met when I heard Wolves. I was like ready to move on already, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it's not going to get much better, I don't think.
Yeah.
9th, Brighton. I'd probably give them a B+.
Yeah, I was going to A- maybe. Like, you have to remember, they finished top 10 and they were getting booed by their own fans in December for not scoring goals. So I think
but
take it into
context. To be fair, I think the first half of the season was a lot better for them, though. They went off like a house on fire.
Yeah, but then why would have? Yeah, well, you said the fans got an expectation of what they wanted and then started to falter a bit. But Graham Potter's done a great job there.
Mm.
Great job.
Yeah.
He feels like he's not long for there either, though, isn't it? Is there bigger gigs coming for Graham Potter?
Where?
Yeah.
I don't know where I see him slotting in. I know what you're saying, and I kind of agree to it. He's a brilliant young English manager, but when you look at, when you look at the like of Gerrard getting gigs as easy as he got his gigs, you realise how hard it is for not a household name to climb the coaching landscape. Like he's made Brighton, now I would say Brighton are kind of like a regular Premiership club at this stage now. Do you know what I mean? Like they kind of feel like a Villa or a Wolves.
Like Potter's the type of person that if Rodgers maybe left or if David Moyes left, that's probably his
level,
next level, because West Ham and Leicester are going to be in the Premier League and they're going to be top 10 sides, whereas Brighton without him could be battling relegation. Like I don't like Brighton being there, it wasn't to do with their squad, it was to do with their game plans and the way they were coached. It was nothing to do with their squad. It's not a particularly strong squad. No. Don't get me wrong, there's one or two individuals you take, but like Trossard, and that's probably it. Like it's probably it.
The left back as well, Chucho, is it?
Chucharello.
I wouldn't mind him. Yeah, I wouldn't mind him either.
He's Cucurella. Some definition of some head on him, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a good player though.
He looked like he could have played at the 86 World Cup.
Yeah.
So B plus, A minus, B plus, A minus.
I'm going to get A minus. I think A minus fair for him.
Just a player there that, you know, Danny Welbeck, credit to him, he's pulled out the bag this season as well.
Big Danny Welbs. I mess with Big Danny Welbs, me.
You know.
Now, strange this. We've given Brighton an A minus. The club that finished above them, Leicester, I think we give them a D.
Yeah.
Like they've just been meh. Do you know what I mean? I think it's
arguably should have done. It's a tough one because if you were to name the top six, they wouldn't be in it, and they finished eighth. It's only one team above them. Like you wouldn't put Leicester ahead of City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham, Arsenal, or United in any other season. Like, and West Ham are the only team other than that that finished above them. So
there seems to be like a space right now that if you're a club like Leicester and West Ham and at that level, that if you get all your ducks in a row, like there's an opportunity for you to kind of cement. And if you were to have more of a financial injection to have a real crack at trying to be a consistent top six club in the league. Aston Villa as well, I think they're not afraid.
Aston Villa finished 14th, mate.
No, but like with the money that they have as well, and where they think they should be, that like say Aston Villa, West Ham, Leicester, they all have.
Yeah, I think Man United should be looking to go in that direction too.
Yeah.
No, but in all honesty though, I think the thing that lets Leicester down this season is they 100% had a better squad than Man United. Like I take Leicester's squad over Man United's squad every day of the week.
Yeah.
Well, 90% of them. And I think that's what let them down. This was their chance. This was their chance to probably sneak into that top six and make themselves kind of relevant again. And they didn't. And that's why their mark is probably lower. Because it's probably their last season of having players like Evans is probably on the downward slope. Tielemans is probably going to leave. Harvey Barnes, they'd be doing well to hold on to, I think. Jamie Vardy is, again, like Evans, is probably just over the peak. I can't see him getting 20 goals in the Premier League ever again. What got 15 Ndidi? This year. Ndidi, like, if you were a United or a Chelsea, you'd have to be sniffing around them. I think this was the Jose Perez. Will he stay? He probably will stay. He's probably not going to get a bigger payday anywhere else. But James Maddison, he's kind of at a stage in his career where he has to do something.
I think he's missed his chance.
Possibly, yeah.
I think there's a lot less clamour for James Maddison than there was 2 years ago. I think he has missed his chance.
His stock was high just coming into COVID there, wasn't it? And then,
yeah.
He's probably just going to be Leicester's kind of stalwart man till he retires now, really, doesn't he? Like, essentially, yeah, your Ward-Prowse. Like,
exactly, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, Ward-Prowse at Southampton, yeah.
I think I think Harvey Barnes was better than him this year.
Yeah.
And it's kind of.
I know Barnes has been linked with Liverpool heavily in January, wasn't he? And prior to the season, like, so there's obviously clubs sniffing around.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think this was their season.
Do we think Do we think the Brendan Rodgers era at Leicester is probably a good thing for both if it ends? And ends soon?
I don't know. The problem is, where does Rodgers go from here? Does he go abroad?
I think if
Arteta was to leave Arsenal, I think it's probably that might be a good fit. I know you would
shut him out. Shut him out right now. But get off.
I don't see what club would take Rodgers in above Leicester, other than possibly Arsenal, maybe Chelsea.
I think if the manager of the club above him moved on, I think he might go there.
Just purely because it's London.
No, I just think
it's his level.
He wouldn't be a bad fit at West Ham.
I'm not sure he achieves anymore at West Ham. I'm not sure if West Ham can achieve any more than what they're achieving right now.
No, probably not. No, Europa League is probably their level. But look, they've been brilliant to watch this season.
Mm-hmm.
And if he had, and I said it before, and I say it again, if he hadn't already been there, David Moyes would be the exact type of manager Man United should be looking to bring in.
Yeah. Very good podcast with him, actually, on the High Performance podcast. He just talks about the wrong time and then going to Sociedad and stuff. It's very good. Mm. Anyone gets to listen to any competing podcast?
Mm. It's a long week. You can listen to several podcasts. We produce enough of them. West Ham, then. What would we give them? I give them a B. Solid B.
Solid B, yeah. Solid B.
Yeah. Unlucky in Europa.
Yeah.
But then again, are we being harsh to West Ham and Leicester? Are we being harsh because... Why? What did we expect? Like, West Ham, could they have finished any higher? If they'd taken a couple more chances, they probably would have finished ahead of United. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if you'd gone at the start of the season on West Ham, you know, 7th.
You'd probably say, yeah.
You'd probably say, yeah. Overachieve.
Yeah, no, but that's at the start of the season. And that was before they unearthed probably the most underrated player in the Premiership in Jarrod Bowen.
Yeah, he's gone, by the way.
He is gone.
He's gone.
It's a matter of
he's gone
of
to
way.
Get married to Danny Dyer's daughter.
Danny Dyer's daughter, Danny Dyer?
Yeah.
Where is he going? Is he going to Liverpool? Are they going
I'd say Ibiza next week.
I
he
think
looks
the
like
worst
someone that
thing
likes
he could
Ibiza
do is
as well, doesn't he?
I'd say he likes a pizza too, yeah?
Yeah.
Someone said he looks like every one of that group of lads that used to kick ball in the field beside your house, and I can't get it out of my head.
With the backdrop,
he just looks like your stereotypical 14-year-old lad kicking a ball. Like. So yeah,
at West Ham, I think it is one of those sides they will hold on to the majority of that side. Bowen maybe not, but Rice seems like he's going to stay. I think if Rice left, he could be found out. I do.
Did he not turn down an 8-year extension though?
He did, but is he not still in? Talks, I think. I reckon it was just too long.
I just don't understand
like,
who would pay
if you were,
the asking price for him.
If you had a good manager, if you had a good player manager now, you would turn down an 8-year contract extension. Because wages are just going up and up and up and up. So you want to be on short term contract.
Yeah.
Anyway, Man United.
Yeah! Now, so for these clubs, are we saying like maybe players they should add or areas they need to add? I think we should just.
The whole fucking squad.
Yeah,
like
I'm actually going to give United a B.
Oh,
why? For
and I'll tell you why.
Figuring out that they had to finally right the ship, like, and coming to the
no,
realization.
I think they are
B
they
for benefit of the doubt.
They've actually done staggeringly better than Juventus did after signing Ronaldo, in terms of performances. So I'll give them a B. I think it's going to be a lot worse next year.
I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Yeah. Sorry about Benfica.
No, you kind of realise that.
Am I joking with the beat?
They have a huge...
Kick him when he's down.
There's so much work to be done there. Like, they've so, like...
Do you know what the problem is? I'm going to say it one last time before I end the season.
Go on.
The ghosts of 92... still have too much of a fucking opinion.
Yeah.
Everyone involved with the Ferguson era, like this whole crap of Ferdinand involved in the Ronaldo thing and Ferguson talking to Ronaldo to stay, and lads, you've had your time, move on.
Where is Ronaldo today, by the way?
Did you just rest him?
Oh jeez. Last game of the season. You take an early holiday, lad. Go over and visit those kids in Vegas.
not so, like,
shambles.
Just
don't worry, we'll bring Charlie Savage along so his dad can get a free ride.
It's sense. Just like with no Champions League football for anything other than an F. Do you know what I mean? That's the only way I can look at the grade for this, is it's an F.
Yeah, but if you, okay, well, if I was to ask you now, what is there, what's the ceiling next year? Like, where do they, like, what is acceptable next year?
I think the ceiling next year is Champions League football, and then, like, if, I know the way you're saying, like, you probably reckon it gets worse before it gets better, and I do too. And then I still think they have a window to make Champions League football next year on the bright side of it, but then I think they couldn't be any worse than now, you know? So I think fourth is the highest next year that they're going to get, and then seventh,
I think,
is the floor.
I think it has to get worse or it won't get better. I think you have to rebuild. This thing, if we're too big, we're the biggest club in the world, we don't rebuild. That's why you're where you are. I think you have to strip it down. There's a lot of dead wood that needs to go. A lot of shed cancer is what I got it, as in, like, poor figures in the club that are just killing that dressing room.
You want to see what the starting 11 looks like. Mm. And then it would, in fairness, like, the starting 11 next year should be, like, if they're doing it right, it's going to be drastically different looking. And that will, A, give me hope, but B, give you an idea where the ceiling and the floor is. And you can probably readjust it accordingly from there. Like,
what?
Six starting new fight? Like, I mean, you'd want to see at least five or six new starters at the start 11.
I tell you what, could do worse than try and go all out for Conor Gallagher.
I think if they do not address the centre defensive midfield, then there's bigger problems to the club. And that's where they're
Alan and Conor Gallagher in the middle.
But then you'd make the argument, why, like, would you rather someone like Ndidi over Allen?
Yeah. Well, I'd take either or. The same role.
I'd nearly be like, why not have fucking both of them?
Douglas Luiz from Villa.
You know? And then they're talking about trying to get, like, instead, like, let's go get Darwin Núñez from Benfica. And I'm like, that's not even half the battle, I don't think. I think we need to be looking from the back up instead of the front down.
If you look at the team that started today, De Gea probably, does he even stay if they can hold on to him? Madrid have a lot more money to spend now that Mbappe has decided to stay at PSG.
I think that the De Gea ship to Real Madrid has sailed.
Oh yeah, so do I, because Courtois, like, but
so I think De Gea is there next season. I don't think that's,
I think with two better central defenders in front of him, I think he's to do less instantly.
But what do you do with Maguire though? Like, how do you get rid of him?
It's called a shotgun. Look, with the Maguire thing, look, they're going to have to just, it's a sunk cost.
So do you suck it and see and let and try him again with a different centre half partner, or do you just try and get rid of him
somewhere? But, and like, just realise that, like, you are a League Cup player. I don't know whether do you ever read some of the stuff that's going on, like, about his contract that says he can't be dropped as captain or out of starting 11, all this shit. Like, surely that's not true. How can that be real?
Who would, and that's someone taking the absolute Michael out of you.
Tellez gone. Diogo Dalo gone. McTominay stays, probably. He's your heart, probably. You can build 10 around him. You can do it. It's like Henderson at Liverpool years ago. That's exactly the situation he's probably.
I think Lingard gone. I think Pogba gone.
Pogba's definitely gone. I don't think we're thinking.
Fred probably stays.
I don't mind
Mata
Fred.
And Matic, I'd say go.
I don't mind keeping Fred, like.
I'd say Mata and Matic gone. Yeah. Just on age alone, 33 and 34.
Yep.
I like Anthony Elanga. But then you start to look very shallow in midfield. Like, do you hold on to Rashford?
I think they're going to bring up some of the kids, like Garnacho. And I think they're going to, like, whoever doesn't get loaned out, they'll keep them in Hannibal. The first team squad. Yeah, Hannibal. Yeah. I want to see more of him as well, because
he is only 19.
I know.
He is
only 19. But look, if they're going with this 10-hand plan of a, you know, rebuild.
Yeah, 19-year-old should work, yeah.
And then look, like, does Ten Hag reinvent Donny van der Beek as well?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. I think he works under him, yeah.
And I think he's going to, like, the I don't know about the Frankie de Jong rumours, like whether it happens or not, but I mean,
I think it's a waste of money.
It probably is, but I don't mind it being in that case, because you know he's probably going to perform for Ten Hag. He's already done it.
What is Cavani on a rolling 1 year? What's the story there? And also, has Ronaldo agreed to rolling 1 year as well?
Ronaldo, I don't think anything official has come back about Ronaldo yet, but I think there was, you know, all your cryptic Instagram messages and signs saying that he will be here next year. And I would prefer,
because that's in his side of the court, isn't it? I'm pretty sure that
option.
Deal. Yeah, I think it's his option.
I would prefer to see him there, and I don't care how like toxic to say it is. Like, lads, how fucked would we be without him this year? Honestly.
Yeah, like
what happens to Mason Greenwood?
That finished sixth.
I'm not worried about it. I can't even think about it.
For a club that's finished sixth, I think United have taken way too much airtime
yeah.
season two.
Yeah, 100%. Move on. F.
What was the letter? F.
F. No Champions League football. F.
It's probably
I give him a D.
D minus.
They were a mess all season. How they didn't finish bottom 10 is beyond me.
Here we go.
They were a pure mess, to be fair.
Yeah.
Here's your second tier of teams now, though, isn't it? Like, you've gone from third tier to second tier, and then there's another tier above that, obviously, just in points difference alone. Whereas we move into the top five.
Yeah, look, I'd probably give Arsenal left to be fair as well.
Which is that the expectation?
People, hold on a minute, and let me explain why I give them left as an Arsenal fan. So, what saved our season was the youngsters, which is luck. What let you down is your experienced players. In critical points this season, it wasn't just losing the Spurs and then losing the Newcastle. It was about a month prior. There was an international break in there, some behazy. But before we bet United and bet Chelsea, there was a 3-game losing streak against Crystal Palace, Southampton, and the third team escapes me. But they're all winnable games.
Mm-hmm.
Everton was the other team in there. So to me, it is an F. Now, if you told me we'd finish fifth 3 games into the season, I would have said no, nowhere near Champions League football. But I do think it was an F overall, and it looks like a lot more work again this season involving the club. Moving off a lot of talent, well, I wouldn't call it talent, but moving off a lot of players, I probably need to.
Some good players there, though, isn't there?
There is, but there's an awful lot of deadwood. Like, we knew what Rob Holding was 5 years ago. Why yes. is he still at the club? Granit Xhaka probably is the last time you'll ever get value for him, so it's probably a good time to move him off now. And then he's going to move off. Lacazette's probably going to go. That leaves us with one recognised striker in Eddie Nketiah, who's done well when he's got game time towards the back end of the season, but we probably need to bring in a striker or two. You look at the fact that Kieran Tierney and Thomas Partey are arguably two of our more crucial players. We mm-hmm. can't keep them fit. So do we unfortunately bite the bullet and sell them now before we lose money on them and try and replace them?
Tierney's a dog.
I know that sounds crazy, but as a club, we have invested too much money in the past in players that can't stay healthy. Diaby, for example.
Oh, I think Tierney's your captain, though. Is he not going to be the captain and he's going to lead them to glory and blah, 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 blah?
I love Kieran Tierney as much as the next man. But he cannot stay fit.
Mm.
He just can't.
I like Odegaard.
Thomas Partey's the same.
Odegaard, I think, is
better. Odegaard can go.
Really?
Odegaard can go.
He's not happy right now. You can tell.
What's the difference between him and Smith Rowe, though?
Smith Rowe. Odegaard is a cheaper Mesut Ozil.
And what's Smith Rowe?
He's a lot more passionate than either of the two. Okay. I would prefer to see Smith Rowe. I think he saw it, what Odegaard was against Newcastle. He just went missing. He was absent when it mattered most, and that's what Mesut Ozil was. Yeah, he can do some brilliant passes, but unfortunately we need to break the stigma as a club that we're kick Arsenal around and you get the point. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you go to somewhere like, say, I'm using the Newcastle game for example because obviously it's fresh in the mind, but playing Newcastle in St. James's Park is worth -2 yellow cards to Newcastle. There will be 2 challenges they put in that if that was anywhere else, there were yellow cards. But because they're at home, they get away with kind of two tackles. It should be, yeah. So we need to get nasty. I suppose is nastiness still in the professional game at this moment in time? But we do need to move off these pretty players for a while. To be fair,
what you're saying is you need a bit of a dirtier spine in your team.
You need a dog. You need an absolute dog, and not a dirty player, but a dog.
That should have been Partey, though, should it not? Really, at the time when he can't stay healthy. Yeah.
He can't stay healthy. Same as Tierney. Can't stay healthy. They're two players who can do it, but they can't stay healthy.
I don't know where you get players from at Arsenal. Where do you get a player like that?
It's now an awful lot harder, given
that. Does it come back to those three players you mentioned for United? The likes of your Alan, your Douglas Luiz, your Ndidi's. Is that the type of player they're looking for? Like, and a good centre half?
I don't think we would go for those players, is the problem. Now, I don't actually think. I think we need someone to go with Thomas Partey in the middle of the field. I think we probably need to move off from Xhaka. And I think we need two strong central defence midfielders. That back four and fit isn't actually bad.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair. And I would have slight concerns, and this is going to seem a bit mad, about Aaron Ramsdale. He was brilliant the first half of the season. He's been less so the second half of the season. Now, he's very young still. And that's been a second half of the season with a constantly changing back four. First half of the season, after the first kind of three games, we had a pretty fixed back four. Ben White, Gabriel, Tomiyasu, Kieran Tierney. But it's injuries again and a small squad, so I don't know what we're going to do. But look, F.
23rd of July, you play Chelsea, so...
So, next up, Spurs.
Tottenham.
Has to be an A, really, doesn't it, considering?
I think a B plus, considering how their season's been turned around.
Not to mention
holding on to Harry Kane and so on. That was a big plus for them.
I think that squad is a lot better than they played for most of the season. I think if you split it into two, though, I think they've arguably been an A under Conte.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not great to watch, but they've arguably been an A under
Conte. They are scoring. Like, it's still shite to watch. They're getting more goals. And I'm like, how the fuck does that work? Do you know what I mean?
It's because of Son. Son is one of the most underrated players in the Premier League. And that's coming from an Arsenal fan.
That spell, that kind of 5-game spell just before Doherty got his injury. Like, there's about 5 games there and they were unplayable, like.
Yeah.
And everything was looking rosy in the garden for them, for Ireland, for Doherty, for Kane, for Son.
And then unlike us, they can play 2 or 3 different ways.
Yes. We can play one. They are good at that, yeah.
You look at how they played against Liverpool versus how they've kind of cut teams apart as well.
Is it the end of the Kane rumours now, though, that Haaland signed for City? Like, where else can he go? Madrid, maybe?
I don't think Harry Kane is leaving Tottenham.
Do United throw a stupid amount of money this summer?
I fucking hope not.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, will you look at United and they don't have a striker?
I know, but what's Harry Kane going to do for that squad as it is right now? Nothing.
Probably going to give you 15 goals a season, minimum.
It's not going to help me when I'm leaking. What do we have, 57? 58 conceded or 57 conceded?
I don't know. Yeah, you finished with a goal difference of 0.
Yeah, nice. So it was 58-4, and I think it was 57 against, or 50, was it 58-58? It's something along the lines of that. I had seen it earlier. Like, Harry Kane, what's Harry Kane going to do for my goal difference on the defensive fucking side of it? Nothing.
It was 57-57.
Yeah, like, I think he was probably happier there as well.
When in that event, then it's you finish with plus 15 goals, which is
an extra 15. Look, I know, because I don't want to talk about United again.
Well, you might close the gap and you might finish 11 points behind Arsenal.
Thanks.
So
Chelsea,
hold on. What about Son? You reckon he stays in Spurs?
Well, he's 29, is he not?
Yeah, but a PSG or a...
I think PSG can, well, that's only, I don't know if Mbappe likes him. That's the next thing for PSG.
No, we're not allowed, if I was allowed to talk about him, you're not either. It's not allowed to be mentioned.
Jesus, this has got to be a long episode. So we give Spurs an A. Chelsea, I'm going to give them a B minus. They finished third, but I mean 19 points off top.
Yeah, B minus.
It's expected
even
to be a big jump for them.
I think it's
fair.
Might
be a C plus.
To take it into context that they had, like, out of the players' control, like, they obviously had a lot of shit going on that I would.
But also, they spent more time than Liverpool on top of the league. Just remember that.
They were
miles off it before that was a huge issue.
Okay, that's fair enough. But yeah, that's fine then.
And for the second, was Werner a sign of the start last season?
Yeah, he's had 2 full years under his belt now, 2 full seasons.
Yeah, I think in back-to-back seasons, they've tried to solve the striker issue and failed miserably. And it's not through a lack of funds.
He gets so many chances. He really
does.
Their
best striker is Mason Mount. He's not a striker.
They've spent colossal money on 2 strikers in 2 seasons and both of them flops. That, like, arguably you could say that in the Abramovich years, Chelsea have had 2 decent strikers in Drogba and
Lukaku part one.
I don't even say Lukaku part one. I was going to say, how was his name escaping me? Pedro Atletico Madrid, absolute shithouse.
Diego Costa.
Outside of that, what other strikers would you pick?
Well, Torres wasn't.
I know
Atletico
was good for him at this pitch. No. Like, they've had flops of strikers. But yeah, look, I would say C minus. Liverpool.
I actually do think that Chelsea could get picked apart, players wise.
Well,
I think it's very possible.
What, Christensen? Azpilicueta,
Rudiger, Christensen. Thiago Silva doesn't have a lot left in the tank.
Yeah.
You'd make the argument they need an entirely new centre back partnership next year. And maybe just more.
Soul is only on loan. For Dunzo.
Yeah.
Nearly there. Home stretch.
Liverpool. A plus.
Yeah, to be in with a chance to win 4 trophies right down to the last has to be can't be anything other than
until they get busted on the asthma conspiracy theory. A plus.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not even going to begrudge them. Like, when you're there in the last day with everything to win, how can it not be an A?
And they were at a point miles off it.
Does A plus not kind of ensue that you overachieved though?
They did overachieve to get to where they were.
Oh, I don't know.
They absolutely did, mate. And if you think that, then, like, my God, they've competed on 4 fronts, and they fell at the final hurdle.
Can I just, I'm just what I said to the bottom field of the start. This is a Premier League show. Forget the other 3 trophies. Premier League.
It's a factor.
Yeah, because
it is,
like,
a factor.
It has to be taken into consideration. Like, they played
plus.
How many games? Like, that's.
Yeah, I'm just not convinced they overachieved
every minute possible, mate.
I think they achieved what you would have expected. You would have expected Liverpool to come second.
No, you wouldn't have,
because they're
miles off.
You wouldn't be on the pod now.
Miles off.
The squad depth, the squad depth of Liverpool was probably greater than the squad depth at City.
Don't know about that, mate. Do you know what? I think Liverpool were phenomenal.
No, I do as well. But I'm just not convinced they overachieved. I think they just achieved. They achieved what was expected.
No, I don't think they achieved what expected, mate.
No?
Grow up. No, I think it was an A+. That effort to keep churning away, and I don't care what you say, I know it's a Premier League show, but the other 3 competitions matter, and it's not even that. They went to extra time in the 2 cup finals they've won so far this season. So they've played every minute possible.
Yeah, true.
It's been a phenomenal achievement, mate.
True. Gross. There's a lot of players there's a few players you can see going away. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, gone. Origi.
What has he brought to you this
already
year?
Gone. Nothing. No, but
Origi, you keep Origi just to beat Everton every season.
Football without Origi is nothing.
His red tinted glasses are falling off his face there, dude.
No, I just with people like that leaving, right, Origi aside, because we'll get another striker probably, but people like Chamberlain, I just worry with the depth. Like, if we were to do this again next season and play every game, you're losing experience.
Yeah,
Grant Klopp is very good at putting in young players. He is very good at doing that. I will say that. Like, he is good at breeding them. Tyler Morton, Curtis Jones, obviously, people like that. But that's my concern, just that losing that one or two experienced players could leave you in a hole. With Milner, like, well, it looks like Milner's going to stay on another year, but he, every game you can just see him losing that second of pace. Like, it's like your dog in its 12th or 13th year, do you know that way?
Those are the best years with your dog, though.
They are, but
appreciate it, mate, appreciate it. Good lord. Yeah, but look, I get it. Minamino probably moves on as well too, to be fair.
I think so.
Any ambitions.
Yeah, someone like a Dortmund, yeah, or someone like that team rip it up at.
I don't think Chamberlain did anything for you really in the end.
No, but it's to get you through the FA Cup games, the Carling Cup games, that you still need experience. You don't want to just, because you want to win it. Like,
do Liverpool care about an FA Cup and a League Cup next season?
They need to be not. They need to be shown to, you know, care.
Don't care. Finally, City. I think you have to give them an A. Don't think, well, you probably give them an A+.
Job done. It just took longer than they thought, I think, isn't it? What their attitude would be towards it.
Look, they still, they've a goal difference of +73. Like, they did. That's phenomenal scoring, and they did
without a striker for most of the year.
Yeah, and then like down the stretch, especially, like, and that was the second time today that they were down two goals and come back to at least draw.
And like, Rodri, by the way, different level for them all season. Cancelo as well.
Scores bangers only. That bottom corner score.
Silva was great for them as well.
Fernandinho's going to be a big loss. He'll be hard to replace. He will be hard to replace.
Yeah, I still don't think De Bruyne has had his game yet as well. So,
and he got player of the year.
Haaland got in there though. Like, it's horrifying. Like, for everyone else.
Yeah.
This could be the Dubs 5 in a row type stuff. Split City in two.
Yeah, we'll see.
Man City A team. That'll be coming.
Well, we'll see what happens with Newcastle. I do only hope you have left.
The only thing is, you want to go out and see your Premier League team play, just get a ticket for the Etihad and sit in the home section.
Yeah, no one's going to hit you either, I don't think.
No, they won't mind, as long as you start singing Oasis at half time.
Yeah, which, look, a few bangers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, look, I think we've rambled on for an hour and 20 minutes. Do you have any quick fire questions to finish us out?
Yeah, I've got one. Manager that's most under pressure going into the new season, obviously, here.
Frank.
Fat Frank. Bottom feeder.
So, like, the obvious one for me is obviously Ten Hag coming in, and then I'm curious to see how far Gerrard can go as well.
I don't think Gerrard's under any pressure.
Well, actually, I have a question for you.
What if they have a really bad start and in November, like, they're sitting in relegation?
No, I still don't think he's under pressure. I think it's Fat Frank, and I think it's Ten Hag to be the two.
Question: who are we saying he's under pressure from?
Wait, who are we
Border
talking about?
Border fans.
Now?
Anyone? Border fans.
Frank, think, fans.
But I think if that question you asked, who's under most pressure? If it's from fans, I actually think Arteta could be under pressure, because we made the fatal mistake of giving him a contract extension before
he did anything.
The season was done. So I think he could come under pressure from fans, and he could be the poster boy for Arsenal fan TV. I still think Frank is under the most pressure, because I think the fans will be on his back early doors.
I know when he's mentioned Jesse March prior to the show, I actually don't think he's probably under any pressure. Now, that's a different story if he loses his first three games, but I don't think he'll be feeling any pressure going into the first game of the season. I think Frank will, and I think Ten Hag most certainly will.
Yeah. Personally, I have no expectation for Ten Hag in the first year. All I want to see is a flow of new kind of players, and I'd be happy. I just think, I can just see the bullets firing on pretty quickly.
Top scorer next season.
I don't think Haaland plays enough. So
I think it will be. That's a great question.
I'm going with Luis Diaz.
I don't
think
see many out and out strikers anymore in the Premier League. It's mad, isn't it?
I think Salah is probably going down a peak here, and I love Salah and I love Liverpool, but I wouldn't be, I'd be upset to see him go, but it wouldn't completely shock me, and I don't think he'd be a huge loss to the goals. I think someone else will come up with the goals.
I think Son.
Son, I was going to say myself.
Breaks my
yeah.
heart to say that. But yeah.
I was going to say Son, yeah.
Did that hurt you saying that?
Yeah. Excuse me. Thank you, bro. Well, look. We digress.
Any other questions? Or
not from me, unless you guys have them.
Go, good to go sit in the dark for an hour.
And cry. We all have tears to shed today.
Yeah. We actually all have had a terrible, terrible last week or so in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look, we'll be back next week with the Celtics through.
And
the 2-1 down, 3-2 up. Just Jason Tatum won the cup.
Champions League predictions for the final, because we won't be back together until after final. So
I think the heartbreaker today, Liverpool win it. I think they walk it.
I think it's very hard to kill a team that won't die.
Yeah, I'm going with Madrid for me in extra time.
On penalties.
Sas, what did you say? Liverpool on pens?
I said Real Madrid on penalties. You just can't kill a team that won't die.
I think it's going to be some final, though. Oh, my God.
I also think the fact that Real Madrid have locked up the season 2 weeks ago.
That's not necessarily a good thing, though.
It's not necessarily a good thing, but the converse is not a good thing. The amount of games and minutes Liverpool have had to play. I made my decision when Liverpool went the extra time against Chelsea in the FA Cup final.
And can we just, how many points do Leinster win by next weekend? 30? 25?
I don't know. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a low key sneak game. Will Skelton's been back, made fit for the final.
10.
He totally wouldn't be.
10?
I think 6. I think it'd be low key be a great game.
I'm going to go 15.
And look, and you could be proven right. I just think it has the potential to be a great game.
And then finally, Celtics, yay or nay?
Celtics.
Turn it around.
I think that's going game 7.
And 4-3 Celtics?
Yeah.
I don't know yet. See, what I would say is the Celtics were terrible last night and still nearly won.
What were they down at 1.16 points?
Oh, I think it was a bit more than that. I think maybe 20 at 1 point. And Jason Tatum had gone 3 out of 14, something crazy like that.
Marcus Smart went off for a brief spell.
The disappointing, and Jimmy Butler, we still don't know if he's going to be back fit. The disappointing thing for as a Celtics fan is it was your first game at home.
Yeah.
Did a great chance
to go
to head back to Miami, 3-1 up. So I think it's going to game 7. And I think a lot's going to. Now, if Jimmy Butler. Still don't know the extent of that injury. If he's done, so too Miami.
Yeah, they
but
don't
I think
have
that's
going to
be another great series. Yeah. Whereas, yeah, and I hope Lucas starts. Not Lucas, geez, he's playing out of his skin, but I hope Dallas starts getting Golden State a game.
Warriors Celtics this time next week, I think.
URC playoffs as well next. Not next weekend, the weekend after as well. There's a lot of sport to look forward to.
Aye.
I'm telling you. But look, it's this episode's been probably the longest of the season. So that's all from me.
That's all from me.
That's all from me.
Thank you and good night.